Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and a warm welcome to this edition of Africa Link, coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Zipporah Nyambura. We are also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Feel free to share your comments and the audio as well.
On the program today, Ambazonian separatists in the English-speaking regions of Cameroon have released a video clip purported to be that of a kidnapped Cameroonian official and threatened to execute him unless the government releases its members under detention. Let's listen to him.
They have given me 48 hours that I will be sacrificed if these leaders are not shown to be alive. So I'm pleading to my minister, the Minister of Social Affairs, to intervene at the high level of government.
U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson cuts short his Africa tour after visiting Chad and Nigeria, where he was seeking to strengthen a key counterterrorism partnership with the two countries. We'll hear from an analyst.
Tillerson's trip obviously had two purposes, really. One is to carry on through the U.S. Policy priorities of engaging with not just Nigeria, but also Chad, Cameroon, and Niger in the fight against Boko Haram.
Well, these are some of the stories that we've lined up for you. But first, here's a chance to listen to some other news items making headlines around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. Leaders of Germany's conservative parties and the Social Democrats have met on Monday in capital Berlin, where they signed a formal coalition agreement to move the government ahead. German Chancellor Angela Merkel addressed a news conference, saying she looks forward to leading the country towards a prosperous future.
Wir haben uns für unsere Arbeit sehr viel vorgenommen.
We have great ambitions for our work, and I think that everyone agrees that it's about time we get started. A new start for Europe, a new dynamic for Germany, a new solidarity for our country.
Merkel is to be officially sworn in as chancellor on Wednesday. In West Africa, Sierra Leone's Electoral Commission has released partial results of last week's general election, showing main opposition leader Julius Maada Bio slightly ahead of ruling party candidate Samora Camara. 75% of the ballots have been so far counted, with full results expected in the next few days. Observers say a second round of voting is highly likely, as no candidate is expected to gain 55% of the vote during the first round. 16 candidates ran in the polls to replace President Ernest Bai Koroma, who served a maximum of 2 5-year terms. In West Africa, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has landed in Chad's capital, N'Djamena, where he was greeted by President Idriss Deby at the presidential palace. Tillerson said Washington would consider lifting a travel ban on Chad as it considers the West African country an important partner. Tillerson has visited Ethiopia, Djibouti, and Kenya during his maiden African trip. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. East African island nation Mauritius has kicked off celebrations in capital Port Louis on Monday to mark its 50th anniversary since gaining independence. Overshadowing the celebrations, however, are reports that Africa's only female head of state, Amina Garib Fakim, is to step down after the festivities. Fakim has been accused of making personal purchases with a credit card belonging to a nonprofit. She has denied any wrongdoing. In Russia, state pollsters have released their latest poll, showing President Vladimir Putin expecting to win his fourth term as president when the vote kicks off this Sunday. Valery Fedorov, head of the All-Russian Public Opinion Research Center, announced the poll results.
63 to 67% have turned out. Vladimir Putin is expected to win with between 69 to 73% of the vote. Pavel Grudinin is expected to come in second with between 10 to 14%.
Putin has been in power since 1999. And now in sports, fourth place Bundesliga football team Borussia Dortmund hosted fifth place Eintracht Frankfurt last night, winning 3-2 in a tight game that went down to the last minute. The win helps Dortmund secure a return to next year's Champions League. Also, Stuttgart and Leipzig play last night, tying 0-0, and Werder Bremen competes against FC Cologne later tonight. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You are listening to DW's Africa Link program, coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Zipporah Nyambura. Thank you to those of you who are listening to us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. We begin today's program in Cameroon, where Ambazonian separatists have released a video of a government official being held hostage and threatened to execute him unless the government releases its members detained by authorities in Yaounde. Among them is Ayub Tabe, who was arrested in neighboring Nigeria and extradited after he declared himself president of Ambazonia. From Yaounde, Moki Kinzeka sent this report.
The video containing the Ambazonian Defense Forces logo shows the unkempt official, Aaron Animbom, a regional delegate for social affairs, pleading with the government to heed to the separatists' demands before they kill him.
I'm pleading to the Minister of Social Affairs to intervene that the leaders of Ambazonia that were arrested and were told that they were brought to Yaounde, that they should be shown, they should show publicly that the people are alive. Because I am here, they have given me 48 hours that I will be sacrificed if these leaders are not shown to be alive. So I'm pleading to my minister, the Minister of Social Affairs, to intervene at the high level of government to see that these people are shown so that my life can be spared.
Animbom was abducted while returning from a funeral barely 2 weeks after Joseph Namata, another senior government official in Batibo, was taken from his residence and has not been found since then. Rose Acha, Cameroon minister in charge of the Supreme State Audit Office, who hails from the town, visited Batibo before the video was released. She has been pleading with the locals to collaborate with the military so that the kidnapped officials are found.
I came to encourage the funds to, together with the population, do everything possible for us to get our dear alive.
Violence in the English-speaking regions of Cameroon has intensified since January, when Nigeria detained and extradited separatist leader Ayub Tabe Julius, along with 46 others. The separatists want the government to make known their whereabouts.
Moki Kinzeka with that report.
And we would like to welcome our Facebook users who've been commenting on this story and, of course, dialoguing among themselves. One of them is Terry Apopo. He says, the separatists are even kind and humane. That's why they have asked the government or Cameroon authorities to only show proof that the 12 Ambazonian leaders, including President or the self-styled President Julius Ayub Tabe, is alive.
Yes, Isaac, we have many more. Kayatege Sambo says they should start negotiations, not killing, because it's not the solution to the problems.
And Zippy Ngo Divine Ngo seems not to, to accept that or to be in agreement with that comment. He says that is the natural outcome when a government refuses to dialogue with the people who have legitimate claims. And mind you, these freedom fighters would even become fiercer if the government keeps being arrogant.
Segun Olumi from Nigeria says Paul Biya should be forced to relinquish power by the international community. These English Cameroonians, he says, are neighbors to us Nigerians. We know the kind of treatment they have been receiving. And they have the right to choose how to live under the international law.
Well, Njerenge Leverage says every human life is important. The government of Cameroon should heed to that call and release the Ambazonian leaders. Thank you for those comments. Keep the dialogue flowing on our Facebook page, DW Africa. And once in a while, we also join in and, you know, write our views as DW. Now, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has said that steps were underway that should allow Chad, an important American ally in the fight against Islamist groups in West Africa, to be removed from the U.S. travel ban list. Speaking in the capital, N'Djamena, he said a report on Chad's progress towards strengthening controls on passports and improving information sharing was being prepared in Washington and would be reviewed by President Donald Trump next month. Tillerson is in the region to bolster counterterrorism efforts with West African countries. Well, before we came on air, I spoke to Matthew Page, a researcher at Chatham House in London, on the significance of Tillerson's visit. Take a listen.
Yeah, I think Tillerson's trip obviously had those two purposes, really. One is to carry on through the U.S. you know, policy priorities of engaging with not just Nigeria, but also Chad, Cameroon, and Niger in the fight against Boko Haram. And it's very much symbolized by the recent sale of $400 million worth of combat aircraft to the Nigerian Air Force that was concluded just a few weeks ago. But the second really important purpose of this trip was really almost an apology trip, most notably some of the comments, offensive comments that President Trump has made about Africans.
Now, U.S. President Donald Trump, while on the campaign trail and after his victory, said it's going to be America first. And the fact that Tillerson's trip is restricted, the so-called arc of instability or efforts to fight terrorism, isn't this reason enough for African leaders to treat Tillerson's visit with a level of skepticism?
That's right. I mean, I think that the Trump administration really views Africa through a very narrow lens. The first lens, of course, is one that has dominated U.S.-Africa policy in recent years, and that's the security and counterterrorism. Really, you know, military and counterterrorism issues are first and foremost in U.S. policy. And then second to that is essentially trade and business opportunities.
But then if Trump and Tillerson were seriously interested in issues of trade, at least he would have included Democratic South Africa on his agenda. And the fact that actually the U.S. hasn't shown much appetite for diplomatic engagement with Africa since Trump became president, there are many doubts that actually this trip will yield so much, whether it is fighting terrorism or improving U.S.-Africa relations. What's your take?
No, that's right. And I think for many years, not just under the Trump administration, the U.S. has perhaps overestimated its influence on the continent and amongst African countries. Africa policy is going through a dry spell. It's going through a lull. You know, we're going through the dry season of U.S.-Africa policy in many ways. It's become very narrowly focused, very one-dimensional. It's been overshadowed by essentially an administration that is espousing quite a lot of white nationalist principles in terms of its domestic policy.
Matthew Page from Chatham House in London.
And now we head to Sierra Leone, where presidential election results remain too close to call after three quarters of the votes had been counted on Sunday, with the two front runners neck to neck, making a second round highly likely. Full results are expected in the next few days. From Freetown, Claudia Anthony sent this report.
From the 75% of results announced so far by the National Electoral Commission, Julius Maada Bio, the presidential candidate of the main opposition party, the Sierra Leone People's Party, is leading Samora Wilson Kamara, the presidential candidate of the incumbent party, the All People's Congress, by more than 14,000 votes. The final 25% has been delayed following complaints of stuffing of ballot boxes and contradictory reconciliation and result forms. This has led the National Electoral Commission to conduct a recount in the stations in question, a task sanctioned by law. The Director of Media and External Relations at the National Electoral Commission, Albert Masakoi, explains.
The laws of Sierra Leone also make provision for the issue of recounts. If aggrieved parties have any issues or concerns, they have the right to bring it up to the commission, and the commission is in the position, according to the Public Elections Act of 2012, to do a recount or to assess whatever concerns that the political parties have.
Sierra Leonean laws put no timeline in announcing election results, but 24 hours following the third quarter of the results announced on Sunday, people are beginning to be nervous. Many voters have taken to social media platforms to vent their frustrations. However, the Director of Media and External Communications at the National Electoral Commission also says he understands the national anxiety and had this message for his compatriots.
Inasmuch as we are oblivious of the fact that Sierra Leone as a country, everybody is on edge to get the elections results in its final state, we want to send this message that as a commission, we are aware and we want to continue to inform people that let us all as a nation be stay calm, cool and be patient. And the wishes of the people that they have manifested in the ballots will always be respected. And that is what we stand for.
Sierra Leone's electoral law states that all the votes shall be nullified in any polling station that records more than the number of registered voters.
Claudia Anthony reporting from Sierra Leone.
And in case you're just tuning in, you are listening to DW's Africa Link program coming to life. From our studios here in Bonn, Germany, I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Zipporah Nyambura. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, Ghana's pregnant women come under heavy criticism for taking bleaching pills in order to give birth to light-skinned babies.
Why do you do that to a baby unborn who or she or he cannot decide for himself or herself?
I think it's just a poor mentality. It is absolutely ridiculous that a mother thinks that taking in pills to bleach their baby in their stomachs is healthy.
And of course, you've just heard some of the frustrations and criticism from a cross-section of Ghanaians who've heard that story, who've read about that story from the local media, and of course also from our Facebook page. Many of you have been commenting why pregnant mothers should take bleaching pills in order to lighten the scales or the skins of their unborn babies. I find that really strange, Zip, isn't it?
Yes, Isaac, it is really absurd. It is unbelievable.
And the Food and Drugs Authority in Ghana has also warned expectant mothers not to take bleaching pills just to improve the color of their unborn babies' skins. Please tell us what you think about this particular story that we'll bring you later in the show by going to our Facebook page, DW Africa. Let's debate about it.
You're right, Isaac. Before we listen to that, we first head to Gambia, where a sit-down strike organized by doctors in public hospitals entered its second week. The doctors are calling for the resignation of Health Minister Safi Lowe-Sisse over corruption allegation remarks she made against medical practitioners. She also referred to the doctors as unpatriotic. Omar Wale reports from Banjul.
Gambian doctors currently on strike have called for the resignation of the health minister after she was quoted blaming the poor health service on what she called corrupt and unpatriotic doctors. They had earlier on given her a 48-hour ultimatum to retract her statement and resign immediately. But her refusal to comply with their demands prompted the doctors to start a sit-down strike. But despite the pressure, the information minister Demba Jao has ruled out any resignation.
It's not very likely that the minister will resign on this issue. I think it's premature to ask the minister to resign just for making a comment which she denied.
The strike is in two phases. As we speak, phase one is on and doctors are offering services to only accident and emergency ward and the labor ward. Currently, there is no outpatient department, clinic or ward room at the country's main referral hospital in Banjul. The doctors insisted that if their demands are not met at the end of phase one, phase two shall continue, which means they will be offering no services, including emergencies. What will happen if doctors started phase two of the strike? Maud Lyman Jame is the spokesperson for Edward Francis Small Teaching Hospital in Banjul. The Minister of Health has appealed to doctors to suspend all acts that could probably cause loss of lives as a result of their decision.
It will be a problem, really. This country is a very small country and this is a very referral hospital. So far, we don't have any major incidents. But if it continues, maternal mortality will go high, accident cases, there will be mortality, high mortality, and other areas as well. Children, everybody will be affected in one way or the other.
Omar Wale with that report from Banjul.
And in case you are in the Gambia's capital, Banjul, tell us what you think about the doctor's strike and what kind of effect it will have, of course, on society. We'll be back with more on the health front just right after this.
Health Check.
And as promised for Health Check segment this week, we bring you this rather unusual story of pregnant women in Ghana who are said to be taking bleaching pills just to change the skin color of their unborn babies. Authorities have now waged a major campaign to discourage the mothers from taking such pills. And as Isaac Kalechi reports from Accra, the skin bleaching industry rakes in millions of dollars because women in West Africa seem to be more determined than ever before to bleach just in order to enhance their beauty.
The cries of newborn babies fill a hospital room in Accra. Normally, overjoyed parents never paid attention to the color of their skin. But a horrifying trend has emerged where pregnant women are reportedly taking special pills to reduce the secretion of hormones that darken the baby's skin.
We have information. Some women are taking pills.
That's Emmanuel Nkrumah, who heads the cosmetic department at Ghanaian Food and Drugs Authority. He believes what is happening is due to a misconception about how babies are formed in the womb, and this poses a great danger to the unborn.
If you look at the development of babies, it's genetic, it's at the cell level. And you taking a medicine to have an effect on the baby will not be what you may be expecting, but it will harm the baby. The baby risks having certain deformities, physical deformities, the baby coming without limbs, that is hands or legs.
One of the drugs in question is glutathione, which is a supplement for bleaching of the body. Renowned Ghanaian dermatologist Professor Edmund Dele has been vocal against skin bleaching in the country. Dele tells me the bleaching syndrome is not just a threat to the unborn babies, but to the society at large.
Why do you do that to a baby unborn who or she or he cannot decide for himself or herself? We must all rise up and fight against the right of the unborn baby. Now it's going as far as to damage the future leaders of our country.
Dele wants more female activists to join the fight against this practice, like Nanaba Anamwa, who has not shied off from addressing the issue. Here is Anamwa.
I think it's just a poor mentality. It is absolutely ridiculous that a mother thinks that taking in pills to bleach their baby in their stomachs is healthy. Once you're carrying a child, you have no right to do that. Yes, it is your child, but you have no right to decide for the child that I want you to be fair or dark.
The FDA says, although it does not have adequate data on how many women are taking the pills to bleach their unborn babies, their market surveillance has shown a rise in its purchase. The authority has now started a campaign to stop importation and use of these drugs by Ghanaian women.
So as part of the activities that we've put in place to address this issue, we are picking intelligence and we are engaging the security services, trying to get samples, and more importantly, get to the source, how these products are trickling into the country. And the most important part of this activity that we are doing is the public education, because we want Ghanaians to know that this is an unregistered product.
Nkrumah, an official from the Ghanaian Food Authority, with that report from Isaac Kaletsi.
Mm-hmm. Now, the debate is already going on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
Yes, you're right, Isaac.
Let's roll in. Emperor Brian Nazer says, the problem is not those taking the medicine. It is the ministry that allowed such toxic with serious side effects to be sold to poor women whose mind has been programmed to believe that light skin gives you an upper hand in our society. Why was it allowed to our market in the first place? Where was the health ministry when the medicine came or was produced in Ghana? Yes, let's get some answers for Emperor Brian Nazer.
Yes, Isaac, you're right. And many more people are talking about it. Nyambazia says it will take some time to debrainwash a lot of Africans. It took centuries to program them that white is the standard of beauty. The African children on the continent grow up watching only Western movies, fashion industry that only represents one version of beauty. And goes on to say these and more programs, especially for the poorly who are not educated, is attributed to skin color. So, African men, I have to say this, Isaac, because I think it's very important. African men are not different in some parts of Africa, mm-hmm. especially Congo, because they love bleaching and making their hair look like that of a white man.
So now from women to
men are also doing
to men are also
yes.
And who's to blame, to bleach or not to bleach? Who are you trying to blame? You know, are men responsible for women changing their looks just to feel comfortable with their beauty?
I come from a society where men also prefer light-skinned women.
Okay.
Isaac, so I think this goes deeper.
That's strange because Adam Yakubu says, I'm proud to be born black. And Adam Yakubu, from the look of the name, he's a man just like me. And he says, no matter the situation, be proud of yourself to be a black African. Women out there, please, Don't bleach. That's my own opinion, which is strange on ASZIP, isn't it?
Yes, I hope the message gets there.
Let's the debate continue about DW Africa, and we'll always, you know, sometimes, you know, chip in as well, you know, to tell you what we think or to moderate it. I mean, keep it flowing, debate among yourselves. To bleach or not to bleach is the question.
Yeah, and as usual, every Monday we bring you a round of African sports and weekend games that took place on the continent. Here is Samson Omale.
Focus has been on the forthcoming FIFA World Cup soccer tournament in Russia. Former France and Real Madrid star Christian Karembo says he's confident the Super Eagles of Nigeria will be one of the teams to watch in the tournament.
We wish the Super Eagles the best, and of course to bring back this trophy, because they are talented, they have experience, and of course one of the coach, Mr. Gernot Rowe, I know very well. He has been in France also. He did educate many big talent as Zinedine Zidane or Djigui in Bordeaux. So far, I hope that the Super Eagles will do for Africa the summum. And one objective is to bring back the World Cup here in Africa, so far in Nigeria.
Karembo was one of the former football stars that accompanied the FIFA World Cup trophy as he reached Nigeria on a four-day tour. The trophy has been making its way through Africa and other countries before returning to Russia on time for the World Cup. In the neighboring Cameroon, the National Football Federation, FECAFOOT, has launched a tender for the recruitment of a head coach for the Indomitable Lions to replace Hugo Broos. The federation parted ways with the Belgian coach Hugo Broos late last year. The 65-year-old guided Cameroon to the 2017 African Cup of Nations AFCON title in Gabon. The post became vacant in December last year when Broos lost his job for several reasons, including failure to qualify the African champions for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The Belgian also refused to take up residence in Cameroon. At the moment, the Cameroon FA also named Alexandre Bellinger, who was one of Bruce's two assistants, as interim manager of the Indomitable Lions. Irrepressible Al Ahly are just one point away from securing a third straight Egyptian Premier League title after an early goal gave them a 1-0 victory over Enepi at Cairo's Petrosport Stadium on Sunday. Central defender Ayem Ashraf struck as early as the third minute as Ahly chalked up a 15th consecutive win, which put them within touching distance of a record-extending 40th league triumph. The Red Devils are now on top of the table with 75 points, a staggering 22 points ahead of second place Ismaili. In rugby news, Fiji beat Kenya 31-12 in the final of the Canada Sevens rugby tournament to become the first team to win two titles in this season's Sevens World Series. The two teams were level at 12-12 at the break before Fiji fought back to back the 33rd victory in 67 appearances in World Series finals. Kenya had won only once before in four finals appearances, beating Fiji in Singapore last year.
Samson Omale with that report from Nigeria.
And now, in other news that we posted or that is making, you know, headlines, Burundi's President Pierre Nkurunziza has a new title. He's now being referred to as the Eternal Supreme Guide, which his ruling CNDD-FDD party has bestowed on him. Some critics are now comparing the 54-year-old former rebel leader to North Korean leaders who are known to have titles such as Supreme Leader. Anyway, we asked whether this is another ploy for Nkurunziza to stay in power. And Zippy, we have some comments.
Yes, I'll start with Emmanuel Ganyila, who says it's a clear signal Nkurunziza's plan is to stay on power forever. I think this man is revolution to oust him.
And Chippy Ray Karonde says it all starts with crazy titles like this. Soon you will hear president for life.
Francis Abogoy asks, to stay in power, you mean? You have to direct this question to the president of China.
And indeed, we did that. China's Xi Jinping has scrapped presidential terms, making it possible for him to rule for life. And some of you, of course, have been, you know, commenting, relating it to the Brun story. Ignatius Chitambo says, you hear soon they'll start to pass a motion on that bill in many African parliaments. We look forward to that and reporting on it, of course.
And Labanchira says, problems looming in Africa. Retrogression will be so pronounced then in this continent. He said, recently I read Trump warning African leaders of China influence. See what it is now, he asks.
And Weber says, such news should be kept secret. Africans should not see or hear it. It would land us in trouble, especially if a government official from Cameroon hears it. Many thanks for those comments. Keep the debate flowing. And on behalf of the team, I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Zipporah Nyambura.
Bye for now.